At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So when we address that the Spirit of the Lord, we have to ask, I said, is it a demon, a spiritual being, an immoral, ungodly being that came along and possessed Saul? Well, it doesn't look by any, and most people don't think so, most scholars, that it was possessed, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a spiritual being. But there's some other scriptures I'm going to draw on today, and that's why we're going to talk about. Then you have to ask, in what sense is this from the Lord? And you just got a hint from it when supposedly Saul said to Jesse, no, he didn't. Did Saul go to Jesse's house? No. That's called a metonymy of subject. Okay, a metonymy in English is when I replace one word for another. Ready? I wrote it. Hang on. Okay. Yeah. Leave it up to Washington to mess things up. George Washington? Washington State. No, what I mean is the U.S. federal government. So I use the phrase Washington in place of the word United States government. We might even be more particular when I say leave it up to Washington. I might mean our representatives. Okay, that's what a metonymy is. So a metonymy of subject is when a declaration, decision, or permission given is substituted as if it was the actual action. And we just saw that when Saul said to, Saul didn't say a word to him. He told the guys, he says, Lord, give us command. Sir, you give us the command. He says, good, you go find one, bring him here. Once that authority was given to them, they found the person and sent him to them. And then when a message came to, and Saul said to Jesse, no, he didn't. He went through the messengers, probably a written message. He wasn't really there. And so active verbs are used as if the decision, the permission, whatever, is the action itself. So I'll give an example. George Washington attacked Yorktown. Did he? No, he didn't. The troops he commanded attacked Yorktown. But we say George Washington's plan and decision to attack Yorktown, we replace it as if he attacked himself. So it's in our language itself. We do this kind of thing all the time. Or when Eisenhower, attacked the beaches of Normandy. No, Eisenhower wasn't even in France. Okay, it was the troops that actually there. And I will guarantee you, the guys who stormed those beaches will tell you, Eisenhower was not there. We're the ones who were being shot at, not Eisenhower. But it was Eisenhower, what was the name of that conference? Anyway, this whole plan was actually set by some other guys originally. There was only 3 divisions, then 5. Anybody know by the time they're done how many divisions attacked Normandy? 31 divisions. The original plan was for 3. Anyway, I just find that intriguing. Anyway. Okay, so we got to realize when it says from the Lord, does that mean direct causation? Could, doesn't have to, because we just saw the same thing in the story before. Did God act inappropriately then, whether he planned, permitted, allowed, whatever term you want to do for this, we'll call it a spirit being, and I'll tell you why I do that in a minute. Does that mean that God acted immorally or against his nature? Well, Deuteronomy 32 and 4 says this, He, that is God, is the rock. His work is perfect. In all his ways are justice. a God of truth without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. All of his decisions are morally right and are just. So we have to think about Saul's sin itself. Years have passed as this story we've been reading to Saul. So basically a lifelong pattern of arrogance, disobedience, and disrespect for God and God's man. Okay? Saul deserved punitive action by God. We all do, but I haven't been given the responsibility of king either. As you know, Scripture teaches the greater the responsibility, the great reward, yeah, but greater punishment comes along the way, or accountability, okay? So if God is just, what's that mean? Okay, what's the difference between fair and just? God being just, okay, has total right to, I guess, is what you call it, to inflict punishment upon any of us, but in this particular story, Saul. He is not acting outside his nature. Matter of fact, I would suggest to you that acting upon those who are flagrantly, shoot a bunch of children in a school, kids in a school, flagrantly immoral, rebellious, and so on, that it is necessary for justice to punish. If it's not the case, the cross wasn't necessary either. Okay? But we're going to keep moving. All right? So, God's holy character is not impugned by this event. Instead, is it affirmed. His justice is affirmed in this story. Okay? And here's the thing you got to realize. God can and does use the wicked to fulfill his purposes. Example. Israel's running amok. They're being rebellious and all this. If God uses a wicked king, an ungodly king, to wreak punishment upon Israel. Pick one. There's been multitudes through history. Is using a wicked person much different than using a wicked evil spirit? No. Do you understand what I'm saying? And nobody stumbles over the idea that God sends Cyrus or the Assyrians or nobody. What's the problem with that? God doesn't impinge or doesn't interfere in God's character when he does that. But for some reason, when we want to say it's a spirit being, all of a sudden it changes. No, it doesn't. Okay? God uses and can and does use the wicked for his purposes. Okay? What we realize in this story is God is absolutely sovereign. And I said the word absolutely on purpose. Which means that Satan's work or evil spirits' works are under God's sovereign rule. There are two very clear examples in Scripture. One is in 1 Kings, the other is the story of Job. But we all know the story of Job, right? The sons of God come presenting themselves before the Lord, and Satan happens to be there too. What you been doing, Satan? Right? Because God doesn't know. Roaming to and fro near. Have you considered my servant Job? Whose idea is it? God's idea. Does God go down and kill all his kids? No. But he's still sovereign over it, because even Satan says, I can't do anything. No, because you protect him. You put a hedge, that's where we get that word in Christianity, a hedge around him, and I can't get to him. So God says, okay, I'll lift the hedge. I'll lift the protection. Satan goes, runs amok for a while, and that doesn't work. If you read it in chapter 2, same thing happens. They're presenting themselves before the Lord, which tells me Satan is accountable to God. Okay? And Jesus, our God, does the same thing. Have you considered my servant Job? And when I read that, you know what I say to God? Please don't mention my name. Same thing. Where have you been? To, roaming to and fro. Hey, have you considered my servant Job? For he's righteous and upright. Yeah. But you're still protecting his physical body. He doesn't have physical illness. Man, if you attack his physical body, he will leave you, abandon you, quit. Notice he still has to get permission to inflict sickness upon Job. Now, does that mean that there's some kind of spirit on Job? No. But listen to this story in 2 Kings, which we'll get there somewhere around 2025 or something. Okay. So King Ahab has joined with Jehoshaphat, I think it is. I don't remember which one it is. Anyway, they're going to go attack the king of Aram. Then Micaiah, therefore, said this. Therefore, here the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing before him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, not entice him in sin, entice him to go attack this guy that had taken over one of the cities that belonged to them. And one said this, while another said that. So these host of heaven and these beings are sitting around there talking, well, let me see how we do this. Now watch this. This is why I believe it can be a being. Then a spirit, not one of the host of heaven probably, came forward and stood before the Lord. I will entice him. Oh, God didn't entice him. The spirit goes to entice him. And the Lord said to him, how will you do that? Because I don't know. I will go out, says the spirit, with a deceiving spirit in the mouth of the prophets. And then he said, all right, go entice him and prevail. Go and do so. Now notice this. To be successful at he wanted to do, God also gave him the right to do that. Oh, you can go do this. Matter of fact, prevail at it. Okay. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceit. Now notice, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of. Did the Lord put a deceiving spirit? No, he just asked, I need someone to entice. The method of deception was the spirit's idea, that spirit. But we have that same metame right here, as if God himself had done it. Did you see that? So we know in this case it's some kind of being that presents himself before God. So that's why I go to you and say, I'm going to present this as some kind of spiritual being. Now, I need you to make this note, by the way. Permission or allowance of allowing somebody even choosing something and choosing not to intervene is not relinquishing sovereignty. Choosing not to do something is still a choice. So if God chooses not to intervene, God's still sovereign over that situation because he can intervene. And this is one of the accusations against God. How can he let difficulty and suffering and pain and evil, especially the little ones, right? In John chapter 9, there's a guy who's blind from birth. And the disciples go, wait a minute, so yeah, whose fault is it that this guy's blind? Was his parents sinners or is he sinners? And what did Jesus say? No, he's blind so the works of God might be displayed to him. We think of that almost like a moral evil, that God would allow a little baby to be born blind. How morally wrong is that? We would do that. But God, Jesus basically said, this is for my glory. And this is the same case in the story we read today. Remember, David's been anointed king. The elders of Bethlehem, okay, his brothers and family know it. I'm sure word sort of got out, but now God's got to get him from the sheepfold to the palace. And you've probably heard messages about that before, okay? But God also uses a flood to kill everybody on the planet but eight. Oh, that immoral God. Plagues, slavery, disease. God uses all kinds of things throughout Scripture. And even in my own life, let me give an example. I don't want to call it misery, but I was at the doctor the other day, and they wanted me to have my blood drawn, so I fasted the next day going to get my blood drawn.
Okay.
So I'm sitting out in the waiting room, got my phone, and I'm doing some reading, and this guy, his name's David, he comes out, you know how they do, call you in, take you to back, get your blood. Well, what were you reading? I'm reading a guy named William Lane Craig, who is discussing how the secular materialistic Big Bang Theory philosophy leads to meaninglessness. So here I am discussing with David the meaninglessness that comes from the evolutionary thought. And of course, you know what I say. I says, you know what gives life meaning, don't you? Well, what's that? I says, knowing God and having Christ in your life, that'll give your life meaning. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going into why I was getting my blood drawn. But God will use that. Do you see what I'm saying? He'll use wherever you're at because God is sovereign even over evil spirits. They give a proposed, a servant gives a proposed solution to this spiritual problem. What's the solution to this spiritual problem? A person. Well, this particular one, a person. We have a hard time with this because God uses people most of the time. God uses people. But in this case, he did use an evil spirit to bring this consternation upon Saul. But the answer still, these guys knew the answer had to be in the right kind of person. But you also know this music affects your emotions. We all know that. I can remember to this day, I can tell you when my brother went into rebellion, his music changed. To this day, I can tell you when it changed. Exactly. Young people, that was due to an influence of a friend, by the way, a so-called friend. So here's the solution. Get a guy in here to play and sing. Okay, go find one. What Saul says, and he does. Okay, he knew, the servant knew that there would be effect on his emotions. But then there's a young man, young servant in the midst of him, probably closer to David's age. Maybe that's how he knows. But he says, wait, I know this guy. You know what it is? It's not always what you know, but who you know. Now listen to what he says about David. Son of Jesse, he's a skillful musician, a man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech. That's a pretty good resume. Hey, gentlemen, listen to me. Worship is macho. You've got a mighty warrior, a man of valor, and he's the musician. He's the worshiper. Wrote a lot of the Psalms. When we get there, wait till you see what he does with the tabernacle of Moses. But here's the part that stands out. For the Lord is with him. Oh, that's the guy we need. You got to find other handsome guys, smart guys, good musicians, but I need somebody that the Lord's with them. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been in church services where the guys up here, man, they got talent, but the Lord ain't with them. I'll take the Lord with you and off key any day of the week. And what kills me, and still got Saul sends the messenger to the field, to the flock, where he is. Somehow or another, these guys know where he is. Notice, though, the big difference is, you got to, the Spirit of God lifted off of him, another spirit was sent to him, and the solution is a God, man with God in him, or with him in that sense, okay? Because that word in, with, could be either one, by the way. Here's the outcome. And whenever the evil spirit came upon Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Either the spirit was either unable or unwilling to stay when David played. I see all kinds of people want to rebuke a demon, a devil, all this. You know what? Just sing praises to your God and see what happens. Just, you know, if you can't sing, start saying them. Just start talking about the mighty, wondrous greatness of your God, your Christ, your Savior. And I don't know if he gets a bad itch. I don't know if it gives him a headache, but he's not hanging around. And I'm going to give you a personal example. Yesterday, I got the thing everybody else has got. This morning, I had a hard time getting here. Instead of being right at the moment, I was inside. And my wife will tell you, so I went to the living room, I got my little speaker with this Bluetooth and hooked it to my phone. And I say, oh God, I got to do this. Let's worship. Amen. That's why I'm standing here right now. Because if a servant can recognize the power of music, if another servant can recognize when you have it, you got to have somebody who moves the Spirit is with, not who's just entertaining. They recognize, you need to recognize that too, especially we gentlemen. Because we associate worship with emotions. And therefore, we don't like worship. Just give us the good old word, you know, we could just use our brains in. You are missing out on one of the most powerful spiritual tools you will ever experience. The evil spirit could not stay. Or wouldn't, one of the two. Now, what kind of things did David play? Read Psalms. That's all you got to do. What it brought physical, temporary physical relief for Saul. I experience this regularly with my back. Don't ask me how it works. You can give me a morphine or whatever you want. It ain't going to work like praise and worship and the word will work. I'm guarantee it. Mike's been there when I've been in the hospital because of my back. And he walks in the room. The first thing he does is open the Bible, start reading out loud. And he didn't care who was in there. Because I don't care how much medicine. Mike knows this. No matter how much medicine you give him, this is what's going to work. I think a good example of this is Paul and Silas. Same thing. When those jail cells bust open, no one left. There was something attractive about Paul and Silas singing to their God. If in case you didn't know it, worship, if an unbeliever walks in that back door and you're worshiping God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might and all your strength, that's very attractive. Okay, to the Spirit. But I do need, the Spirit did not come upon Saul till after the Lord lifted his spirit for the task that he'd given him off of him. Relief came from a young man that in whom the Lord was with him. I want you to think about this before you think, well, that worship thing sounds really good, Pastor. That sounds great. You know, I don't have evil spirits running around my house. Second, or Peter 5:8. For your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So where have you been, Satan? Roaming to and fro. What for? To find someone to devour. Okay? You may not think there are. All you have to do is turn on your TV and you'll find evil spirits, but that's another issue. Ephesians 4:2 says, be renewed. Now listen to this. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, which is it? Is it my spirit or in my mind? There's an integral connection. Many people, even, people that went to Woodstock, those of us who are old enough to remember what that was. Okay. Woodstock, people will call it a spiritual experience. There's a connection between your mind and your spirit and the spiritual. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 12 is quoting Psalms 22, which Christ quoted on the cross. I will proclaim, not I want to, I hope to, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. Who's that? That's the person sitting next to you. How do I know? In the midst of the congregation, let me put it in modern American Western terms, in the midst of the church, I will sing your praises. In the midst of the church. If you can't sing here, if you can't sing your praises to God here, you sure ain't going to do it when the boss hands you a pink slip. They still use that phrase nowadays, pink slip. Okay? It means you got fired. Okay? You sure ain't going to do it when the doc says you have, when the IRS says you owe. The power of worship will literally affect the spiritual realm. When we see pictures of heaven, what do we see? Worship. We sang about seraphim and cherubim. What are they doing? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever and eternity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. If you're uncomfortable in worship, heaven's going to be miserable for you. It is essential. Worship is an essential part of your spiritual growth, spiritual formation, as the word is. Because it's from the word I draw my praise. I read them to you this morning. When I started church, I just grabbed scriptures, put them in paragraph form, let them address, and changed it from me to us to our. So it can be read as a way of me or us proclaiming. That's just word. That's just the Bible. That is worship. It will literally change your physical body. I don't know how else to say that. It will bring deliverance to your mind. Why? Because God inhabits what? The praises of his people. Now, this bothers some people. Now, I'm a word guy. I'm a Bible guy. God doesn't say he inhabits the preaching of his people. And I default to word. That's where I go. But God inhabits. God, I just want your presence in my life. Then that's what you better learn to do. God, in this situation, we just need your presence in this situation. This hard time, we need your presence. Then you better learn to praise and worship him. Let me put it this way. God's always everywhere. It's not like he becomes more here when you worship. Two things happen. Makes you more aware that he's there, and any other spirit has to be around has to leave. Let's stand. Hey, David understands this principle, folks. When Saul's chasing him, he's living in a cave, and he's running from his enemies. He writes psalms, various psalms, not the whole book, okay? He writes various psalms. Lord, I ask you today, I know it's according to your will. I ask you to open the hearts and minds of everyone listening the importance and the power of praise and worship. Father, if there's someone listening that for some reason has been resistant to worship, maybe because it seems emotional or they just don't like music or whatever, God, I pray that you would bring this fully deep and speak to them in their heart. Let their brain meditate on it a while. Father, that you would show them from your word. Show them, teach them how to worship and give you praise. Then, Father, we'll set back. Watch your name be glorified as our enemies flee before us. To the glory of your name and for your name's sake.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.